My name is Chaya Rapp, and this is Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Chaf Zayin. We just finished Prakim Chaf Beis through Chaf Vav, which focused on the institutions that David set up in preparation for the Beis HaMikdash. So we talked about the Levium that assisted the Kohanim themselves, the choristers called Meshorim, and the gatekeepers called Shoarim. Our current Perek, Perek Chaf Zayin, deals with David HaMelech's secular administration. So it includes the military, the local governors, the people in charge of his personal wealth, and lastly, his closest personal advisors. Starting with the military, Pasuk Aleph refers to Hamachlokos Haba Avayotzeis Chodesh B'Chodesh L'Chol Chodshei HaShana, the divisions which rotated monthly through all the months of the year. Hamachlokos HaChas Esrim B'Arba Elef, with each division containing 24,000 men. So David HaMelech had a kind of milu'im system in which there were 12 groups of 24,000 reservists, and each of them served for 1 month out of the year. Rashi points out, Afal Pisho, Yu Yisrael, Yoserm, Yud Beis Pamim, Chavdalat Alpayim, even though all the Jewish people included more than 12 times 24,000 men, David lo bachar ela anshe chayel bashirei ha'am asher yuchal lazov b'skeyam lasok b'skeyam melech. David only chose courageous men and rich people who could afford to leave their affairs and come work for the king. Aval aniyei ha'am hatzrichim lefarnes atzmam lo lakach David. He didn't draft the poor people who needed to focus on supporting themselves. We see here in David's draft an example of his sensitivity, the tzedakah part of tzedakah and mishpat, righteousness and justice, which characterized David HaMelech's kingdom. The commanders of each of these 12 military divisions were drawn from the giborim, the warriors of David, who are listed in Perek Yirah. The second part of our Perek deals with the governors of each of the tribes for a total of 13 tribes, but not the 13 we're used to listing. Gad and Asher are notably missing, but both the Levium and the tribe of Manasseh are split into two. So the Levium are split into Kohanim and Levium separately, and Manasseh is split into those that lived in mainland Israel and those that lived on the other side of the Jordan. The names of the governors of each of these 13 are listed. The governor Reuven is referred to as a nugget, a prince. Dasovrim suggests that the leader of Reuven was particularly powerful, and therefore his leadership extended beyond his own tribe of Reuven to include Gad as well. So this might explain why Gad is missing from the list. Alternatively, Art Scroll suggests that this information, the names of the governors of Gad and Asher, was possibly just no longer available to Ezra when he wrote the Sefer. Pasuk Yirches lists the leader of Yehuda as Elihu me'achei David, Elihu, a brother of David. So we mentioned Elihu previously when we discussed the lineage of David HaMelech. There was some confusion as to whether Yishai, the father of David, had 7 or 8 sons. In Sefer Shmuel, the implication is that Yishai had 8 sons. 7 were brought before the prophet Shmuel. None of them were found to be the future king, and then David, the 8th son, was presented. However, in Divrei Hayamim Perek Beis, only 7 sons of Yishai are listed, ending with David. We concluded there, based on this pasuk in our Perek, that there was indeed a brother younger than David, named Elihu, but once the count reached David, who was the most important part of the story, there was no longer need to list further. In order to divide the people into the various mishmaros and divisions for the military, David needed to count the people. This time we see that he took great care to make sure that things were done correctly and that the mistakes of the past were not repeated. Pasuk Chaf Gimel reads, V'no lo nasa David misparam l'mi ben esrim shana v'lamata. David didn't count any of them from 20 years old and under. Ki amar Hashem laharboses Yisrael kechokhve ha-shamayim. Because Hashem had said he would multiply them like the stars of the heaven. In Perek Chaf Aleph, we had discussed the view of the Ramban. Ramban says that David's tragic mistake was counting all of the people, including those below the age of 20, and that it's never permitted to count the entirety of the Jewish people because they are fundamentally uncountable in the sense that their existence is supernatural. Pasuk Chav Dalet recaps the previous tragedy. Yoav ben Tsruya hechelim nos v'lo chila. Yoav began to count but didn't finish. Vayhi bazos ketzef al Yisrael, because Hashem's wrath came upon Israel. V'lo ala hamispar b'mispar divrei hayamim l'melech David. And therefore the results of the census were not included in the account of the chronicles of King David. The third section of Perek Chav Zayin deals with those who took care of the personal wealth of David HaMelech. Rashi says, Kol zeh holechu misaper l'gdulas David, v'afilu mishaya mimuna al ha'asono shelo. Rashi says that this whole section, detailing those who were in charge of the treasuries, the vineyards, the olive trees, the sycamores, the cattle, the camels, and even the donkeys, was written for the grandeur of David HaMelech. You might have noticed that some of the administrators of David's wealth mentioned in the section are mentioned with their place of origin. For example, Pasuk Lamed mentions Oviel HaYishmaeli, Yechdiyahu HaMeronti, Yaziz HaHagri. So it seems that these people are coming from foreign lands. Malbim says that indeed that was the case. Malbim says B'nei Nechar Hayu, that these were non-Jews who worked for David. Al derech amdu zarim v'ra'ut tzonchem. Malbim quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu that describes better times for the Jewish people. The pasuk there in Yeshayahu samach he says, v'amdu zarim v'ra'ut tzonchem, uv'nei nechar ikarehem v'chormechem. Strangers shall stand and pasture your flocks, and non-Jews shall be your farmers and your vine trimmers. Hem hayu bekiyim b'mlacha zu, Malbim continues. Malbim says that they were the experts, these people from non-Jews from foreign countries, and they were employed in the glorious kingdom of David. Alternatively, Radak says that the people mentioned were actually Jews who lived in non-Jewish lands, possibly to study the skills necessary for their work and then go back and home and serve David HaMelech. Kind of like Israeli postdocs who come to study in American graduate schools. The final part of our perek lists the members of David's more immediate royal household, the people that were closest to him. The commentaries note that we also had a list like this in Perek Yedches, and that the two lists are not the same. It could be that Perek Yedches was the official cabinet, and our perek lists David's closest personal advisors. The advisors listed in our perek start with Yonasan Jo David, Yoetz Ich Mevin V'Sofer, Yonasan, the uncle of David, who is described as a wise man and a scribe. A scribe could be a scholar. There's no other mention of this uncle of David in Tanakh. Number two, Yechiel ben Chachmoni, im b'nei HaMelech. Yechiel, who was with the sons of the king. Radak says, im b'nei HaMelech, that he was with the sons of the king, means he was responsible for raising and educating the king's children. The next pasuk lists Achitofel Yoetz LaMelech, Achitofel, the main advisor to the king, the Chushai Ha'arki Rea HaMelech, and Chushai, the king's friend. The destinies of these two men, Achitofel and Chushai, are discussed in Sefer Shmuel and were tragically intertwined. In Shmuel Beis, Perek Tes Zayin, Achitofel, the advisor of the king, is described, Batsas Achitofel asher ya'atz bayamim ha'im, kasher yishal ish b'dvar ha'lokem. The advice of Achitofel was as if the person inquired of the word of Hashem. In other words, his advice was so good and so on the mark, it was as if it was divine. The Medrash on Tehillim Nunhei says, Kishadvarav shel Achitofel psuchen, hakol shomin lo. When Achitofel spoke, everyone listened. Tehillim Nunhei describes the searing pain and tremendous fear that David felt when Achitofel betrayed him and supported the rebellion of Avshalom against him. David says, Libi yachil bekirbi, ve'emos madas naflu alai. My heart writhes within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Yirav arad yavovi v'techasenu palatzos. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Ki lo ayev yecharfeni ve'asa, for it was not an enemy that taunted me that I could have borne it. Lo misani alai higdil ve'asaser mimenu, it was not my adversary that raised himself against me that I would have hidden myself from him. Ve'ata enosh kerki, but it was you, a man my equal, alufi, my companion, umida'i, and my friend. With Achitofel supporting Avshalom, and Achitofel's advice always being on the mark, David knew he faced a serious threat. He davened Sakhel nas atzas Achitofel, that Hashem should turn Achitofel's counsel into foolishness. His tefillos were answered. Chushei Ha'arki, listed in our perek as David's friend, pretended to be an ally of Avshalom and challenged Achitofel's idea. Avshalom followed Hushai's idea over that of Achitofel, leading to his downfall. We read in Shmuel Perek Yud Zayin, Vayomer Avshalom v'chol ish Yisrael, Tova atzas Hushai ha'arki matzas Achitofel. Avshalom said Hushai's advice is better than that of Achitofel. V'Hashem tziva lo haferes atzas Achitofel ha'tova, lavor havi Hashem el Avshalom es hara'ah. Hashem ordained that the idea of Achitofel, which was a good idea, that it be rejected in order to bring defeat upon Avshalom. Knowing that this would not end well for himself, Achitofel went home and committed suicide. Where did Achitofel, the greatest advisor of all time, go wrong? The Gemara says that in his arrogance, Achitofel misread the future and thought that he should be king. He supported Avshalom, whose reign could never last, because he thought that in the chaos that would ensue after the rebellion, he could take over. He was partially right in that royalty was destined to come from his family. Batsheva, the mother of Shlomo HaMelech, was the daughter of Eliam. Eliam was the son of Achitofel. So Shlomo HaMelech was Achitofel's great-grandson. There was royalty that was destined to come out of his family, but he, in his arrogance, thought that he himself should be king, leading to his very tragic ends. Our parak lists the fifth and sixth of David's advisors as follows. Acharei Achitofel, Yehoyada ben Benayahu ve'Avyasar. And after Achitofel were Yehoyada and Avyasar. Some of the commentaries understand the words Acharei Achitofel, after Achitofel, to indicate that after Achitofel's untimely death, his position was filled by two advisors. The first of them, Yehoyada, the son of Benayahu, was probably the son of Benayahu ben Yehoyada, who was named for his grandfather. Avyasar was the Kohen Gadol in David's time. Finally, the last of David's advisors is listed as Sar Tzava LaMelech Yoav, Yoav his commander-in-chief. The Gemara in Brachos Gimel learns, based on our psukim, how decision-making worked within David HaMelech's kingdom. When David considered going to war, the first person he consulted was his closest advisor, Achitofel, who would give him strategic advice. Then, as the pasuk says, Acharei Achitofel, after consulting with Achitofel, David went to Yehoyada as the head of the Sanhedrin. The assumption is that Yehoyada took over this position from his father, Benayahu. David would consult the Sanhedrin to get their support for the action and ask that they daven for his success. Next, he went to Avyasar, the Kohen Gadol, to inquire of the Urim the Tumim, the breastplate, whose stones lit up to respond to questions of great importance, to find out whether they would be victorious. And only then would Yoav, the commander-in-chief, then lead the people out into battle. So we see that there was a system of chain of commands, of checks and balances, both strategic and spiritual, in David's activities. Two final notes about our parak. One, the number 24 has been a constant theme over the last five prakim. 24 mishmaros of Levium, Kohanim, choristers, gatekeepers, and 24,000 individuals in each of the military regiments that served a month out of the year. What's the significance of the number 24? So I don't really have a good answer, but I heard someone say that the name David is often written, and in fact I checked, and it's over 25% of the time, the name David is written with a Yud, so it's Dalet, Vav, Yud, Dalet. The gematria of David with a yud is 4 plus 6 plus 10 plus 4, which is, of course, 24. So perhaps 24 is somehow the signature of David HaMelech on the institutions he established to be perpetuated after his lifetime. I didn't see anything else regarding the significance of 24, but if anyone else has, please do reach out. I would love to hear. Final note on the parak is that the institutions described in Prakim Chaf Beis through Chaf Vav were set up by David at the end of his life. The institutions in the parak we just completed, Parak Chaf Zayin, were institutions that functioned throughout David HaMelech's reign. Tomorrow, we return to the end of David's life and the final charge to Shlomo to take over and implement all that David had put into place. This shir is dedicated Lezecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bas Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivas Tzion left an indelible mark on her many students.